You're listening to We Are STS, a podcast from the Department of Science and Technology Studies at University College London. Hi, everybody, and welcome to We Are STS. I'm your host, Professor Joe Kane. This is episode 9. Well, you may have heard, next autumn, STS will be launching a new master's degree in science communication. This grows out of us covering the subject for years in all sorts of ways. And it mixes together some very familiar subjects in the department with some things that really push towards new ideas and innovation. Exciting times indeed. We're just starting to promote the new degree and the admissions process, so I called up the co-directors of the program and asked them some key questions. We talk about the degree, what makes it special, and where to look for more information. They also talk about careers, and they talk a bit about some of the modules. It's a great introduction to something I think is going to be a big success. We're talking through online connections. I start by asking our new co-directors to introduce themselves.
Hello, I'm Melanie Smallman, and I am co-director of the new program in science communication, the master's degree.
Yeah, hello, I'm Jean-Baptiste Gouillon. I'm teaching science communication in STS, and I'm also co-director of that new master's in science communication.
How exciting. We've got both directors right here, right now. So why don't we start our conversation by talking about the degree at a program level? So Jean-Baptiste, why don't you tell us, what's this degree designed to do?
So it's designed to provide students with a very solid foundation in terms of practices of science communication. So we are bringing in practitioners to deliver state-of-the-art modules about writing, broadcasting, video making, podcasting, digital media skills. But we also want this practice to be underpinned by very strong theoretical content. So we are, at the moment, Melanie and I, with other people in the department, discussing a lot about the content of theoretical modules. We want to bring in a global perspective for science communication. So there is a module which is literally named science communication from a global perspective. We want to think about science communication as a means to enact social change. So there is a module whose title is science communication and social change. And we also want to help students reflect on the practices of science communication from a theoretical conceptual point of view. And there is a module which is dedicated to that. And the program also inserts itself in the wider pedagogical context of the STS department, so students will have access to some of our existing modules which deal with aspects of the history, sociology, or philosophy of science.
Great. So we've got a degree that includes practice and theory, plus it integrates with other parts of STS. Melanie, is there anything you want to add to that? What is this degree designed to do for you?
This MSc in science communication really is designed to train people to take jobs as science communicators and to do that in a way that gives them professional quality, practical communication skills, but also to have a thoughtful approach to how we do that. And, you know, we know that giving information alone isn't enough. So from a science and technology studies perspective, we'll be helping students to understand what it is that shapes how people think about science and technology so that they can take that into their careers and not just have the practical skills, but have an academic authority so that when they are negotiating with colleagues and discussing what needs to be done, they know they are making claims from a very solid foundation. So I think it gives people, as well as practical skills, real confidence to go ahead in the world of work.
Melanie, can you just elaborate just a little bit more, maybe even with an example?
I'll use my own careers. I spent 20 years working as a science communicator before I came to UCL. And yes, the training I had on the job to learn how to write and grammar and to format documents was useful. But all of the time, I was going back in my mind to theoretical ideas that I'd learned about planning communications, about understanding audience, about how you evaluate communications. And it was surprising to me, actually, when I was working, how very quickly the practical skills I'd learned became upgraded through practice. But that theoretical underpinning that I'd learned at university continued to be useful and valuable throughout my working career. Well, I'm still working, I guess.
Indeed, you are, very much so. Yeah, right. So, Jean-Baptiste, maybe you can pick up on this as well. So we're talking about great degrees really build on solid foundations, and I guess we're calling theory the solid foundation. So you've said a little bit more about what those core elements are, but can you elaborate a bit, maybe again with some examples?
The two main core elements of theoretical elements of the degree will be this module on global perspective and the one on social change. And I think the idea is that when you consider science communication from a global perspective, it leads you to think a bit differently about what constitutes science, and to recognize that there are many different ways of communicating science, many different platforms, many different media, and in fact that the local context in which communication happens has an influence on the way in which science is understood and what is understood to be science. So I think it's taking a global perspective is a way of welcoming the diversity of understandings of science and science communication which exist in the world, and not remaining focused on a very Anglo-centric, Euro-centric view of science communication, which in the end tends to be a bit impoverishing, I think.
I think the big message there is that it's a big world, and anybody working in science communication has got to be ready to work in that big world. And it's not just a big world spatially, lots of places in the world, but lots of ideas and lots of kinds of engagement going on around the planet. Brilliant. Okay. So great degrees have solid foundations, but great degrees also have special features too. So what would you say is going to make this new degree in science communication? What's going to make it stand out?
I think there's probably three things that will make this degree stand out. So first of all, we've got professionals from the world of science communication, people who've got significant careers in international organizations who are coming in to deliver the practical module. So we're very excited to be welcoming in some impressive names to do that. Secondly, this, as Jean-Baptiste said, this international focus. We know that the media doesn't work in one country alone anymore. News can travel around the world in seconds. So we need to think about this, and we need to think about how people in other parts of the world both interact with information and science and technology. So that real global focus is there at the heart of the program. And I think thirdly, it's this coupling of practical communication with science and technology studies to give a critical approach to technology that enables our students to have a deep understanding of how the subject they're communicating about is shaping people's lives around the world.
Well, that's great. I mean, three big ideas there about what makes this degree stand out. Jean-Baptiste, is there something you want to add?
Yeah, I think it's just to bounce up on what to rebound on what Melanie just said. It's I think the what makes our degree stand out is really that connection with STS, because it helps us construct a reflection about science communication as something which is just not made to educate people or transmit knowledge or increase people's appreciation of science, but to help people as citizens to become autonomous in relation to science and take part in debates, democratic debates about science. And that's our main hope for that degree, to form people who will be able to enhance people's freedom in relation to science, I think.
Yeah, the great example, I heard somebody say this the other day, which is, it's my wind turbine too, you know, and I thought, yeah, well, that's a great way to summarize that public engagement side of science and technology, that, yeah, we need wind turbines for electricity and all that kind of stuff, but it's my wind turbine too. I want to say in what it does or what it's, and how it affects me and who pays for it and all those. Well done, you know, within one phrase, you get it. Now, one other kind of program question I've got for you, and then we can talk about careers and we can talk some specifics about the degree itself. And that general question really is, it's a bit weird. So when students sometimes come to a degree program, they are kept inside that degree program, kind of inside of a bubble, and they pretty much take courses only with that group. Other degree programs work really hard to spread attention across the whole institution, so students get an opportunity to study in every department that they want. I have a feeling that the science communication degree is somewhere in the middle. Is that about right?
Well, I think it's a combination. I think to begin with, UCL is a very collegiate place. I think it's hard to live in your own bubble. So there'll be opportunities for students to do things in their own time, get involved with the student newspaper and the student broadcasting. Those are available to all students across UCL. And so, you know, that's a really great way of integrating across the college, but also getting amazing work experience. And I think as Jean-Baptiste says, there's a new master's in citizen science being launched, and there's obvious connections between the two programs. And of course, the MSc in science communication is in our science and technology studies department, and there'll be opportunities to take modules in the history, philosophy of science, and in the sort of politics and sociology of science, if that's something students are interested in. But what we have been very clear about is that there is something special about this programme. And there are certain modules, particularly around the practical communication skills, that are exclusively for students on this program, because we want to push them to such a high level of skills development. Some of the modules won't be open to people studying other subjects. They are devoted to this program.
Brilliant. So the idea is that for a lot of the degree students will be in a bubble. It's a big bubble, but it's a bubble that helps them specifically. And then there's some opportunity to sort of take a course outside of the degree. That's roughly what you're saying, right?
But it is hard to live in a bubble at UCL. We're in the middle of central London, you know. We exist in a world, so that will be very much apparent in the programme.
And Jean-Baptiste, is there something that you want to add to that?
Yes, I mean, it's not related directly to UCL, but we will have a module which is delivered by the Science Museum in London, so it's clearly outside the bubble. And the practitioners we bring in to teach the practical modules are also outside UCL. They are in Nature, they are coming from the BBC, and these are openings, and it offers possibilities for students to hear from different institutional perspectives and open them on the wider world, I suppose.
I think the way that you're bringing in people from outside of UCL to participate in the program is really, really fantastic. I really love that idea. And so if I wanted to just hide in a little corner and not interact with colleagues around London, this is not going to be the program for me. And if I do want to network, to use that really important phrase. If I want to network around London and science communicators around London, it sounds like you've done a lot of work in trying to bring other industry professionals in to engage with us inside the program. Melanie, do I have that right?
Yeah, I think that is right. I mean, there's sort of two levels this works on. We are bringing in the best people from the world of science communication to teach on this module, and they'll bring with them perspectives and connections and networks that students will be able to access. We're also right at the heart of London, and there is so much going on all of the time beyond what we are offering in the master's program in sort of formal instruction. There are so many opportunities for students to visit, to participate in lectures, to get jobs in at weekends in places like the Science Museum. We're in the capital city, one of the best cities in the world. The opportunities are absolutely endless.
And what I find fascinating is the students, applicants will often ask what courses we're teaching, and we've got all those written down. But then exactly as you're saying, Melanie, there's so much going on in London. Everything from opening of museum galleries to newspapers, magazines, publishers in London, to theaters, to just everything's going on. It seems it's such a happening place. It's exhaustively happening, you know, in a way, using that word in so many different ways. Let's go on and talk about careers, and then we can talk about some specifics in terms of the degree itself. And in terms of careers, Jean-Baptiste, let me ask you the wide open question. So this MSc in science communication, so why would anyone want to pursue this as a degree?
Well, Joe, thank you for asking the question. So we've had conversations with prospective students already, and it comes out of those discussions that they are, some of them are already science communication practitioners, but they are lacking the kind of foundations which enables them to assert their expertise as science communicators. So we hope that with this degree they will be able to acquire this expertise and develop as professionals. Other people might have had a training in science, for instance, but they may realize that a life behind the bench is not what they are hoping for. So science communication can be a potential avenue where they could flourish and do what they want. Other than that, I mean, there are people who might want to join the degree because they are interested in those questions and they want to improve some skills. And some may just, I suppose, have a go and see if it sticks and discover a new vocation.
Brilliant. That's a great range of people. Melanie, is there anything you wanted to add to that?
Well, I think in terms of jobs, I think there's a growing market for people with these skills. So as well as the kind of obvious journalistic roles, most universities are hiring teams of public engagement staff, and often they're requiring a master's in science communication to get a position. So, you know, there's those kind of opportunities. Also, the tech companies are all wanting people who understand audiences and how to communicate complex technological topics. So, you know, there's roles in marketing, communications, journalism, publishing, as you said, Joe. I think there's massive opportunities and growing opportunities for people who have these skills and can demonstrate that they can take complex technical subjects and explain them in a straightforward and compelling way. And this master's degree, you know, gives you a portfolio. We haven't talked about that. At the end, there'll be work to show prospective employers as well as the certificate. So, you know, there's a lot to help you into the world of work coming out of this.
Well, let's veer into the portfolio for a bit and just talk about that, because that is part of the career development focus here, that it looks like you've designed this program around career building. So tell me more about the portfolio. Melanie, maybe there's a couple of favorite parts of that portfolio you've got in mind. What would you say would be some of your favorite parts?
Well, I think it will depend on the individual student and what their passion is. And I think that the program will have enough flexibility within it for people to follow the thing that they are really passionate about. So whether that's communicating genetics or whether it's working in museums, the modules will have practical outcomes, and all of our students will be producing something, so a video or podcast, articles, even essays, that at the end will hopefully go together to make a really exciting portfolio to show employers. But also the whole experience of putting it together and working on these things gives something really important to talk about in a job interview, to demonstrate that you understand the process of producing these things, which is really what employers are looking for.
I'm going to interrupt here. Let's take a short break. Jean-Baptiste, we're talking about portfolios and we're talking about elements of portfolios.
I think the pinnacle of the degree will be the final project, which students will realize. They will have 3 months to work on that, and they will be able to draw from the expertise of the practitioners that we bring in the program, as well as ours. And they will be entirely free to choose which format they want to express themselves in. They will be able to mix formats. It depends on what they want to produce, really. As Melanie said, it depends on people's inclinations and tastes and interests. The end product will be something really substantial.
Right. Okay. So if I were to enroll in the program, we talk about me building a portfolio. So I'd end the degree with a knowledge and skills, and I could evidence that, as they say these days, with coursework pieces. But what you're saying, the degree also has a major project that's basically done after the 2 terms of courses, and then it's a big project. And the big project is a summer project, I suppose, and it's due at the end of the summer, at the end of the degree. Yeah. And it's meant to be a culmination of all the skills, a real show-off piece of work.
Absolutely.
If you want to do that. And do either of you have an idea of what you think would be an example of a big project like that?
I think that's kind of the exciting bit, is that we're pretty open-minded about what this looks like. I think that the other degree programs in the department require an extended essay, but that I think is not what we're expecting, that it's going to be much more practice-based. So some element of reflection on the process or the impact, but certainly a communication product of some sort. I don't have concrete views about what that should be. I'd like to hear from the students what they find exciting.
Go ahead. We've got a lot of filming kits, for instance, which we've bought especially for the masters. So, if a student wanted to produce a half-hour science documentary, they would be more than welcome, and they will receive appropriate guidance. We could imagine placements at the Science Museum, for instance, working with curators. We could imagine a lot of different things, really. Again, depending on what people are interested in and what they want to pursue as a career later on. So they can even try and write a book or at least a small text which will communicate some ideas about science, or perhaps encourage reflections on key topical topics.
Brilliant. We've got coursework, we've got projects, all building a portfolio. There's an intangible bit of a degree like this. We mentioned it a little bit, and I wonder what you guys have to say about how it's built into the program. But Melanie, maybe you can start thinking about networking. So if I'm in this degree, would I be able to network, say, outside of the university with people around London? Will I be able to do that?
Well, yes, for sure. And I think what could be particularly exciting is some of the potential students we've talked to already have roles in science communication already. So I think that there'll be some networking within the programme, and particularly as time progresses and our graduates get interesting jobs, we'll be trying to tie in existing students with previous students. I mean, UCL is incredibly well connected, and the opportunities to network with media and communication people around the city and hopefully around the world will be huge.
UCL does have a big alumni network, and they're keen to encourage alumni to participate in programs, and that's part of networking too. So not to oversell networking, but there you go. Let me ask just a few very informational kinds of questions, and maybe Jean-Baptiste, you can start us off on this. And let's assume I'm interested in finding out more about the degree specifically. Where can I look for that nitty gritty detail of information?
So, internet is a good source of information, and the URL is ucl.ac.uk/sts/msc. On this page, you will find all the information you are looking for in terms of how to get there, what is on offer, why it matters.
Brilliant. So, and we'll certainly have links to the website on the program notes, so people can follow along from there. And Jean-Baptiste, if I wanted to contact someone to talk with them about the degree, maybe find out something very specific about my application, who do I talk to? Would it be you and Melanie, or who is it?
At the moment, I think it's Melanie and myself. So our emails are easy to find.
And of course, we'll have those in the program notes too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we are happy to have Teams online meetings, etc. We've had already.
The route is, if I have some questions, I can send an email, and we go from there. We build a conversation. Melanie, go ahead. Come on.
We are having a series of online and in-person open days, so that might be an even better place to get advice. So the dates are going to be on that web page. We also share quite a lot of information through social media, so you can follow the @STSUCL Twitter name, and we'll be tweeting out more details about application deadlines and open days. But I think the open days in the first instance would be a really, really fantastic place if people have got general questions about the program and want a few more details, because we'll both be there and we'll both have all of the information at hand and ready to answer the questions very easily. So I would go for that.
Brilliant. So if I want to find out more, keep an eye on the social media, look at the webpage, and we'll see material coming along. Jean-Baptiste, let me ask you a question about money. Are there any scholarships available for this? How do I fund this degree for me?
Well, Joe, there is no specific scholarship for this degree, but UCL is offering a range of different scholarships for prospective master's degree students, and all information are available on the UCL website.
Okay, brilliant. So again, go back to the website. So pretty much, folks, the answer to most of the information-seeking questions are go to the website. There's a lot of material there. Follow us on social media. Come to one of the open days. Really, that's the trio of focal points for us. Melanie, let me ask you a broad and, I'm afraid, vague question. I'm an international student. So is this program going to be good for me? Am I going to be welcome here?
I certainly hope so. That's the whole idea, that this focus on global communications, we want to have a diverse student body so that we can be learning from each other in that process, and trying to make sure that we build in case studies and examples that come from the whole world, not just the UK. So we're designing the program to have an international perspective, and we really hope that students from around the world will feel drawn to that and welcomed by that.
Melanie, here's a different kind of question. Is there a particular time of the year that I should be applying, or is it open throughout the whole year?
Yes, well, it's open right now, so I would encourage people to get their applications in. The first closing date is the 31st of March. So if the program is full, then that's the closing date. There may be an opportunity to apply later, but I would encourage you to apply early to be in with the best chance.
We've covered the basic questions, so let me bring this towards a close. In talking about an MSc in science communication, Melanie and Jean-Baptiste, I myself get drawn into thinking about some great examples of science communication out there in the real world. And I wonder if each of you has an example in mind that you'd like to talk about. Melanie, do you want to give an example of a great case of science communication that you'd be proud of?
I like this question. One of the things that I do, I'm the chair of the jury for an international competition for the best science communication project in the world. So the scheme is called Falling Walls Engage, and we met in Berlin last week and saw 20 projects from around the world that were just absolutely phenomenal in terms of the way that they were changing how people thought about science and technology. The project which won was a project that was based in Puerto Rico, and it was a young female scientist from Puerto Rico had set up a scheme to help local people get access to information about COVID vaccines. And she understood that it was no good her as a scientist talking to people because she wasn't the most trusted source. So she gathered together all of the local respected community leaders in her town and in the area, trained them and sent them out. And they were going back to their communities and giving accurate and persuasive information about COVID vaccines to try and help the people in Puerto Rico take advantage of this technology and stay safe during the pandemic. So that's my current favorite project.
What a brilliant case. Absolutely brilliant. And it's another example of thinking about communication across the whole world.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can see where, when we talk about theoretical foundations, I can see where that touches on some really important theories about public engagement. And I also can see how the practical skills come to work in something like that. And both are key parts of this particular MSc in science communication. Jean-Baptiste, do you have an example of a great case of science communication?
Yeah, so I went to a conference last week about science communication. And a paper really stuck with me, which was about a program which is called EPOP. And basically, it's something which is based on the idea that it's a bit like what Melanie was describing. It's the people who are initiating this project are giving video producing devices to young people in the global south, basically, and they ask them to film and make observations with film of the consequences of climate change on their environment, and then they can put those videos to scientists and ask them, what are you doing about this? What can we do about that? What are you making of the observations we've made in our films? And it is something which is quite amazing, because you can see how involving non-scientists into some research on something as big as climate change is really creating real relationships between scientists and non-scientists, and it enables non-scientists to also participate in producing grounded knowledge about climate change. And I was quite taken by this. It's called EPOP, and their website is epop.network.
It sounds like it's so fantastic about that is it draws the scientists into a conversation that somebody else is having, and it taps into that desire that so many scientists have of, to help, to do something good. Right, great. We're heading towards the end of this. Melanie, Jean-Baptiste, is there anything that you wanted to talk about in terms of the MSc in science communication that we haven't yet covered that you really think is important right now?
Well, I think we've covered most of the details, and the information is there on the website, and you can get regular updates following the @STSUCL Twitter feed. But really, I'm just really, really excited about this program, and I just can't wait for the program to begin. And I just hope that people get a sense of how exciting this is going to be and come and join us next year.
Fantastic. Thanks very much. And Jean-Baptiste.
Yeah, I think what I wanted to say is that to me, UCL is quite a special place. It's really London's international university, global university, and it's not an empty phrase. It is something which, as a foreigner who's moved around quite a bit, I really feel in my day-to-day job at UCL, which is an open place. It is a place where everybody can bring their specificities, and it is a place which is open to the world at large. And I don't think there are many places like that in the world, and I would encourage anyone to come and study at UCL, and science communication especially.
Thanks to both of you for coming along today, and we'll talk again soon. Bye now.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's our episode for today. Thanks for coming along, everybody. I hope you're primed now for the new Masters in Science Communication, and you've got a good idea where to apply. We've got links to the application process and to more information in the program notes. Very special thanks to my two guests, Drs. Melanie Smallman and Jean-Baptiste Guyon. These are the co-directors of the program, and they're two people you'll see a lot if you come into the degree. We'll have other tutors coming along to talk in the podcast series later on in the year. Music today has featured two pieces by Kevin MacLeod, Rollin' at Five and Suite of Vermouth. Both are available on the website filmmusic.io. We Are STS is a production of the Department of Science and Technology Studies at University College London. If you're wondering more about our degrees and teaching, just get in touch. We're always happy to talk. Finally, you can find out more about the show, tell us what you think, and explore our programs in general just by visiting the website. Here's the address, so write it down. It's ucl.ac.uk/STS/podcast. Well, that's it for today. We'll meet here again soon. Thanks for coming along, everybody. Until next time, I'm Professor Joe Kane, and thanks for listening. You've been listening to We Are STS, a podcast from the Department of Science and Technology Studies at University College London. Join us online. The address, ucl.ac.uk/STS/podcast.